It's time to spark it up with the Kennel Linguists.
I mean, look what happened in Colorado. They're like, oh, Colorado's going to run out of weed.
The fact that you got to go to McDonald's and get a value meal supersized on the state, that never happens anywhere.
With your hosts, April O'Connor.
You need to smoke weed after you go to the whorehouse because you're kind of being contemplative and wondering. Like a store gun store, like a store gun store. Check cash in place. Sounds familiar.
And Alex Mandelberg.
It's like Tyson hit her in the vagina. That, I feel like, is where the line is. I feel like the line is, if it can make you better, it's performance enhancing.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but about Apple.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Revisiting the Bill Maher thing a little bit. Everyone's laughing. We're doing the Denver 420 being moved to Pueblo. How easy was it for a reporter to get a weed card? And April's marijuana weed-selling nuns, that she is just so in love with her weed-selling nuns. She's in love with them. Here on the Can of Linguists, I'm your host, Alex Mandelberg, along with my co-host. I don't know how to phrase that shit. April O'Connor.
Holding it down.
Alex is very flustered tonight. And our guest this evening, the very awesome host of the Magnificent Magnificent Beast podcast. Yeah. Give it up for John Shefsky. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Now that I heard that echo.
Yeah, I know. I like doing that. It gets people pumped for the beginning of the show. You're like, fucking yeah, let's do this.
Like when you're
shit.
Going on the drop on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
That's why I hear that echo.
I'm more of a Splash Mountain drop guy myself.
Oh, it's a better drop.
It's certainly a better drop. And also the whole, racist undertones of the fact that you're riding through the most racist movie.
I only recently realized that.
You know what? We do a guilt-free movie night here at my house every Sunday night, and I think like the fifth or sixth week that we did it, we did Songs of the South.
Yeah,
and here's the thing. So it's like, they don't say that these guys are going to fight for the South in the Civil War, but the guys in the movie are going to fight for the South in the Civil War.
Yeah.
And there's a character so we were putting it onto the hard drive so that we could make sure we could screen it up there. And we were just zipping through real fast because we didn't want to watch it because neither me or my roommate had seen it before. Yeah. And we were like, all right, let's just skip through spoil it, but we want to make sure the audio was syncing up and all that. And we just clipped right to the scene of the tar baby.
Oh, I don't even
where they make a baby out of tar.
Oh Lord!
And
the balls on people.
Yeah, I mean,
the balls to be publicly racist.
It's a really, and every character just talks like, "Well, howdy there, how you doing over there?" And please, it's very, very, very. It's oof.
I felt when I saw Breakfast at Tiffany's. Is that the one that has the? Was it like one of the old comedians that's like dressed up like an Asian dude with the big teeth and glasses?
Oh yeah.
Oh, Mickey Rooney.
Man, he's been
killing
it for a minute.
You
now
made me question myself. Yeah. I was like,
he went from that to the wrestler.
Yeah, no, folks. It was amazing.
But when I saw that the first time, like, it blew my mind. Like, where I was just like, I'm not an offended dude. I wasn't offended. I was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's just
funny. This is just fucking kind of like douchey.
Yeah, it's really one of those things where it's like you couldn't find a single Asian in Hollywood to play the part.
Come on.
You had to get Mickey Rooney and put buck teeth and have him squint really hard. Like, really?
Oh, yeah.
But isn't it like character-y, like sketch? No, it's, kind of knows. It's, I mean, okay, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. No, I think you're approaching it in a fair way, though, because I'm not alive in that time zone.
Yeah.
So before I fucking, even though it's racist to me and fucked up.
Before I judge it, it was not.
But I think, that's always that whole thing where you go, that was kind of the problem. But
I'm sorry to bring it up, but can we talk about how you had that experience doing ADR on Roots?
You did ADR on Roots? How old are you?
They're redoing it now. I'm not allowed to talk about anything about it until it comes out, obviously. But what I can't, like, just for me personally, what I can share was
Sorry,
it was just
we're not allowed to talk about that.
It was a really rough day of work because I also did the movie 42, but on 42 you were screaming racist things with a hatred vitriol, just venom spitting, and when you're saying terrible things in a terrible manner, it match
weird.
It actually feels a little bit more like it's easier to
natural.
Do
oh okay
when you're doing Roots and you know and you have to say racist things as though like no that's just like that's what he's called you're that hurts a lot more
yeah
it
the,
hurts
the,
a lot
the list
more
of when you're words.
The list of words that I had to use that day that it's just like
that
like the ones
I can
that
only
I,
text to you
yeah like I yeah. I sent her a list at the end of the day of words that I refuse to use ever again. And it was, and a lot of them are words that you're
it
like, oh,
was,
I didn't realize, but
it, wow.
Yeah, no,
like there's more than one word is what I'm
going. Oh, yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot. It was a list of words. It was a list of words.
Okay. So it goes from stuff that we're standardly used to hearing. Like, we're like,
yeah,
oh, that's a little racist.
To ones that you're like, oh, didn't even realize they called them that.
Who's the racist inventor? That's
yeah,
genius.
No, it's
like,
but that's the thing. Saying stuff like that naturally, just like, oh, somewhere. You know, the old blankety blank over there.
That felt weird.
That sank in my soul a little bit deeper.
Here's the list.
Man.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there you go.
I'm
going
to look at the list, but I can't say it out loud so the listeners can't even hear this, but I'm just going to say.
I mean,
say,
you can if you want.
Can I say
to.
What? Like,
you
where,
can say
can
it
I say words
loud.
That rhyme with
I'll
them?
Never say them again.
The first one you guys might know, it rhymes with the word. Bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That was the first one that I refused to use ever again.
Okay. The second one rhymes with the term horch tunky. if you've ever been so inclined to play these word games. Far haby. Was that one translated?
Yeah,
I think you said that already.
Well, I've already said that one earlier today, so I broke my rule.
Aww. Far baby. Let's just say far baby. Oh, I haven't heard this one before. Lard Snape, if that means anything to you. Oh yeah, we all know beer hucker. That one's in a friendly vocabulary for many that I know. Let's see. This one rhymes with sappy, like your sappy hair.
Yeah.
This one's been used a lot too. Bigahoo. You know where I'm going with that. The funny thing is like so many of those roll off the tongue and such funny bouncing.
Yeah.
Like there's such bounciness to some of those words.
Yeah, no, they certainly
it's
were.
It's hard to believe that they're mean. They go like when you say them.
It's the context, of course.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I mean, it's for. But even in like the original Roots, like I don't remember those words being in the original one, were they? Kind of? Or is it, have they embellished
yeah, no,
more?
That, I, well, it was the 80s, so they weren't allowed. I mean, the language. This is not going to be on basic.
More.
This is not going to be on network. It's going to be on cable.
Okay.
And it's 2016. This is not LeVar Burton.
It's going to pull
this
on
is not
some
reading Rainbow, dude.
So what does that mean? It's actually going to be a little heavier or whatever? It's going to be a little
yeah.
Little
you
rock?
Saw that list.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
well,
yeah, yeah. But I also
well,
take a
here's
long
the
time
thing.
To understand things.
I don't know if you – have you ever seen Roots?
The original
one? The original
one. Oh,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
When was the last time you watched it, though?
Oh, at least 10 years ago.
Oh, I've seen see, it, like, I watched it 3 months ago for this project
yeah,
to just kind of catch up. It does not hold up.
Oh, it doesn't?
Not for – I mean, listen, I mean, as a cultural piece and what it stood for, absolutely. It was
yeah,
one
yeah.
of the most important things for that movement at a time. I'm talking strictly as a piece
as
a film.
Yeah.
No, it does not hold up. Okay. It looks like something shot in the 80s that really was just like it reeks of
Yeah, it's not timeless.
It reeks of the time
is.
It was filmed in.
Yeah, the story
the
is. But the story
production
is
the production.
Yeah.
Absolutely
they
not.
They should just show Blazing Saddles to kids. Because they have a positive look on it, and you get to see like a black guy like save the town, even when they are racist and ridiculous.
There you go.
Like, show elementary kids Blazing Saddles. Give them a sense of humor about humanity, and show Sheriff Bart like saves the fucking day.
Damn right.
And even after the whole town is racist towards him, he still takes the high road. And it's like, fuck it, I'm going to stick around and help these people. Like, they should show that shit.
Goddamn right they should. All right, that's enough of us bullshitting around.
If I was running for president, that's what
so,
I said.
So, starting out, the reason why we're revisiting Bill Maher, I talked a lot of shit on Bill Maher last week.
You
and
did.
This
did.
Week, I decided that I was going to sit down and watch the full episode of Real Time with Bill Maher. And, you know.
The
February 12th episode. Here's the thing. Well, my opinion of Bill Maher as a person still stands.
He likes hookers.
No, I mean, I don't mind that he likes hookers.
Yeah. Man judges another man.
Who doesn't like hookers? Someone? I fucking love
them. No, it was just part of the story.
No, it was just part of the whole, like, I have a problem with it. Like, I'll tell you, is like, I feel like he's as far left as the people he criticizes for being as far right. And I believe that as far left as he is just as damaging as people that are that far to the right.
Sure.
That was my argument. Now, here's the thing. I kind of need to applaud Bill Maher for making a very sensible, moderate, I can't believe I'm going to say, argument about the state of marijuana legalization. Because so many people, I agree with him, the amount of hippies that I have heard say it's going to get legalized next 4 to 8 years, it's going to be legal in the U.S. We have more abortion clinics closed.
Yeah.
We have, what is it? I think we have 10% of the abortion clinics that we had in the 90s.
It's insane.
We
right before our eyes.
Yeah, right before our very eyes. You're telling
10%?
Me
10%?
Yeah, I think
who's even sitting around thinking about that?
Even in Los Angeles. Now here's the thing. Right now. Did we have too many dispensaries? Yes, we did, but we have shut down more than have stayed open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they
in the last 2 years.
But does anyone you know that needs to get herb or needs to get stoned have a deficit in that? Everybody's high, including the cancer patients. Thank God.
Yeah. Pass me that bong, actually.
Yeah. Here you go. Take the bong, smoke on this. But here's the thing. I applaud the fact that he was trying to give a reality check to stoners and say, we're not going to have legalization in the next 4 years.
Yeah.
Let's deal with abortion first.
Sure.
Let's make sure that abortion is not something that is going to be federally outlawed. How about let's make sure that, and then we'll work ourselves to there are so many bigger things that we have to fry.
Totally.
Also look at the direction that this country is moving in a country where, listen, like it or not, as we record this podcast right now, Donald Trump has won every single primary he's been in. He is the front runner for the Republican nomination for president of the United States of America.
My Republican stepdad was like,
he has been running.
Hillary's going to win because we got nobody.
I think it's an example. It's a tangible example right in front of like everyone's eyes, though. It just is my hippie opinion that like the whole thing's a fucking carnival, as George Carlin said.
Absolutely.
You say absolutely. But there's a ton. Look how invested even you or I could be in this whole thing. It's a fucking weird thing.
It is comical.
Depending on what media you look at, it looks a certain way. So if you look at liberal media a bunch, it looks a certain way. If you look at conservative media,
it's angles.
But then you just see it and you're like, oh, this guy's a fucking clown. I mean, no offense, Donald, if you're listening, but this guy's a fucking clown. Okay?
I'm so honored that you think Donald Trump's listening to my podcast.
He's a fucking ass clown.
Orange-faced ass clown.
He's a clown. Well, I don't like to judge people because I'm on my own journey, right? But fucking the guy's insane. Like, don't give this guy the keys to the kingdom, right? And people are interested in him. And supporting him, that's hilarious. But those of us that are fucking at all awake and we're just like, you can't let that guy decide like who's going to get water and like how you know people's personal freedoms. We're like, this is obviously a giant fucking carnival.
So now I've said this 100 times, and I'll say this to you now because you bring this up.
Okay,
I've said this a few times before, but see, I think that is what keeps Donald Trump out in front. The fact that we as Americans don't take him serious as a candidate for president of the United States. Yeah. We keep cracking jokes and saying it's not serious, and then he keeps sticking around and keeps sticking around. Now, if we sat back and really just all of America went, all right, Donald, you are candidate for president of the United States.
Yeah.
Fucking lay your platform on me, baby.
Yeah.
If we treated him that way, well, maybe his numbers would drop if we were actually treating him like what he is. He's a candidate for president. And we all just want to crack jokes and call him an ass clown. I do it too. It's like we really all want to do that. But on that same page, I'm like, I feel like there are people voting for him just because we all keep calling him an ass clown.
I'm sure that like it's I understand your practical standpoint.
He's playing to the dumb people.
The practical standpoint of if we would all like,
he's running on a very far right platform. Absolutely.
If we wouldn't have let him get like in, if we would take it more seriously, we wouldn't have let him get this far. I mean, I agree with that practical like perspective on it, but I apply that to all of government. I apply it to the whole thing. If people just took care of themselves and treated people fairly, you wouldn't need anyone fucking opening or closing abortion clinics because nobody would need a fucking abortion.
And also really in a field of what started as 15, he was the most recognizable name amongst all the ass clowns.
Yeah.
Like it's because Cruz and Rubio, they really are both there. I mean, here's the thing. If they got some of their circuitry, maybe their main motherboards replaced or upgraded, maybe their operating system could get up to a point that they could function on a natural, like modern day level. But the problem is, like, I think their operating systems were installed in the 80s.
They're such
because they're such goofy. 80s mentality dudes.
They're such goofy, douchey dudes. And it's so. Just the fact that they're in the fucking running for they're more celebrities.
Tell me you don't imagine Cruz and Rubio broing out in like neon polo shirts.
I imagine them like that's a
thought
other.
That I really think I'm like I can see them doing that.
I imagine them just being closet homosexuals and driven mad. That's, anybody that acts that it's full of the kind of ideas that they have. I'm like, oh, you've been driven mad by something you're holding in. I don't know what it is.
Well, that's
something big.
That's usually
it's
very
their
true.
Their love for neon polo shirts.
Yeah,
yeah. I guess
we both
seriously.
Said the same thing.
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, I understand why Trump is in the lead. I really do. There's not a lot of other great. I mean, who are you going to choose? Christie, Bush, Fiorina? Dear Lord. I mean, that woman. I like to think I'm a pretty brave guy. That the thought of her scares me. She's terrifying.
Who?
Fiorina. Carly Fiorina.
I don't even know who Carly Fiorina is. Is she running for president?
Carly Fiorina. Well, no, she's dropped out now, but she was the person who drove Hewlett Packard into the ground.
Okay.
And she was also the one who got a lot of heat during the only time during a presidential debate that as soon as the presidential debate ended, the news organization carrying it had to halt their programming to correct such an absurd falsity stated by one of the candidates during the debate. And it was when Carly talked about this video. She's like, I saw them harvesting still moving fetuses and saying that they need their heart and for the Planned Parenthood. And CNN came, that was during the CNN debate. And CNN, as soon as it was over, was like, so here's the thing about the Carly Fiorina comments. They're all wrong. And
these are the same people that vote for them that hate Muslims because they're fundamentalists, but they're fucking they're also fundamentalists. Mm-hmm. You're like, you guys are fucking insane.
Yeah.
It's weird because I feel like
but that's the same way I've always hated Bill Maher is like, I'm like, you're just a leftist fundamentalist.
Yeah. I mean, look, anyone that uses their ideology like a fucking, here's my identity and I'm sticking to it is you're just like, okay, this is nuts. We can't hang out. But Bill Maher already doesn't want to hang out with me. So I met him when I was 18. I was doing makeup art at a party in Beverly Hills. And I was just like a goofy, naive, like 18-year-old from the suburbs. And he walked, and there's all these playmates there and all this shit. I could give a shit about that. Bill Maher walked in the door, and I was like, whoa, I watch Politically Incorrect. I fucking love this dude. I walked right up to him. I was like, hello, Bill Maher. My name's John. Nice to meet you. And he was just like, yeah, whatever. Like, he literally not only did he not put his hand out to shake my hand like a nice adult would to a dorky ass little kid, but he also just kind of like looked the other way, like, where's the pussy at? But I understand. But now as an adult, I'm like, oh, I understand his sickness. It's totally, it's like he wasn't trying to be a dick to me. He wasn't paying attention.
No, he was really just wondering, where's the pussy at?
He was just, and later that night, he was hitting on my hot makeup artist friend.
Of course he was.
And I don't judge him for it.
I said last week, it's like I had a friend who was a writer on the show who told me, he's like, Bill Maher fucked two hookers every day, and not like escorts. No, like, I mean like
dirty,
hookery looking hookers.
Dirty,
like,
what's his name? The English actor that got caught. And you're like, oh, he just met some chick on the street.
Like, yeah, no, like two tops, fucking clear heels.
Gross.
Yeah,
and no offense if you're a dirty hooker. But,
no offense at all. You are doing the Lord's work. No, but
that's right.
Besides the point. Bill Maher wants to fuck you. We're just trying to give you a business opportunity, really. Here,
what if Bill Maher
go to New York? Fuck Bill Maher.
What if Bill Maher uses like that identity because that's what where he's comfortable is having that identity, and that's how he gets his fans, and he has a fan base is because he sticks with like that the marketing of like I'm the this liberal dude, but like he maybe he's like I feel slipping like, people I their feel medicine like he in a got, nice way.
No, because it would be the same thing I would say about Lewis Black. If you listen to Bill Maher's first album, same way if you listen to Lewis Black's first album,
I won't.
It's
but thank
not
you.
About politics.
Yeah,
and there's actually some really great, really funny comedy. Now Bill Maher went on to do Politically Incorrect, which made him a political guy.
Yeah, his right. job. His day job was who politics. He was as a comic.
But and that became who he was as a comic. Sure. His views
gotta keep that hooker money coming in. Yeah, I'll do the special. It's on politics.
But his angle on politics is very racy and edgy. I mean, as far as the topics go, and well, it's not like late night TV.
It's not liberal. It's not liberal.
Anybody that's on TV or in the media that is, I don't give a fuck if they say they're conservative. They say that voices like the not like not just to be contrary, but to actually like say like, oh, I feel this way about this, and it's, I'm still stoked on that because I see so much of like, oh, this is exactly as I predicted. That like even if I predict that Bill Maher is going to go and be a wild card, I'm stoked on that just for the fucking human race getting like a little bit of media that you're like, oh, this guy's like he's cool about gay people, but he's also going to be cool about fucking guns or whatever.
That's just curious what you think about
hookers
the current landscape of America. If Bill Maher was running for president and he won the Democratic nomination against Trump, who would win? Today in America.
I'm completely out of touch when it comes to culture. I feel like my spaceship just landed. I'm always like, this is what people like. This is what they think is good. And like, it trips me out. Like, I'm not getting on a daily. I'm just like, where am I? Like, who is everyone? Yet I feel like I can relate to people anywhere I go. I fall in love with the town, the people. But like, when I see like through the news or my friends are talking about politics or what, I'm like, who does this?
Yeah.
It's like kind of like a Seinfeld in me. Like, what? Why would you? You know, like, what the fuck is going on? So
yeah, I glaze over.
Sounds like you're weak tea in my question. Come on, man.
Well, okay, bring me back to it because I'm avoiding it subconsciously.
Bill Maher general election versus Donald Trump.
Oh, like, what? Well, I guess my initial answer, I have no fucking clue. What would I bet? 50-50? I'd hedge it and hope that some friend that consulted with me knew the way it was going to go. I'd be like, I trust him. I trust him. Now I'm going to go take a bong rip and try to get off or something. Yeah, like, I don't even know, dude.
See, that's the thing. I'd be worried that in the current landscape, people would veer more right than left right now. And I that's a real fear that I have because I mean, listen, I'm a moderate. I stick in the middle, but, the right is further right than the left is left. I will give Bill credit for that. He hasn't gone as wacky far left as he can as some rights have gone wacky far right.
Yeah.
There are plenty of wacky leftists.
What's the far right coming from the left? What is it? What does it mean? Like symbolize it because I don't understand what he does.
Bill Maher really here's the thing, in the same segment that I'm applauding him for, he's also talking a lot of shit on states' rights.
Oh, okay.
And that's a big leftist thing. Leftists totally. Believe in one central federal government, one set of rules.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a big and
it's
like
terrifying, yeah. But they want it.
It's very
make everything shiny and clean.
Yeah.
Let one person decide. Okay, future fascism sounds great.
It
sounds real clean for the future.
Exactly. It's a little bit. It's a little wacky. It's like
the robot will take care of
it. It's the same way that I go like Bernie Sanders, like. Bernie Sanders, a lot like Ron Paul. It's like he has this ability to say like the most brilliant and crazy things all in the breath of the same sentence.
Totally. A lot of awesome people do.
And they're both I think it was actually Bernie Sanders who said this. He went, you know, politics is not a straight line left to right. It's a circle.
Yeah.
And so once you get so far to the left, you actually become right.
Because no human – this is all made up like linguistic fucking – rules and borders. So no human is any of these things that like we're looking at and trying to categorize this complex world around us. Nobody is a Republican. Like it's like the fallacy of averages. Like there's the three numbers that make the average. That middle number like doesn't even fucking have to exist for that other number to be pooped out. And then you're like, where's the fucking middle number that you said is part of the group? Like it doesn't even fucking exist. So so nobody is any of these things. Like,
that's my problem with Bill Maher. And like I said, with him talking shit on states' rights, it's like, listen, I will never pretend that what's right for Los Angeles, California is also right for Kenny Bunkport, Maine, or Little Rock, Arkansas.
Even 50 miles away. It's fucking different. You can be in the mountains over there and be like, I need my fucking rifle. There's fucking there's bears, and I should be and I they should be able to shoot a fucking bear to save their life. But you're like, and you're in downtown LA, and you're like,
you don't need a gun.
Do people need guns right here? No, I don't know, dog. Like, this should be cities' rights. Shit, like, get the, you know.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, anybody that wants this, like, just a giant, like, federal, like, now this is illegal for everyone. You're like, dude.
Yeah, it's scary.
They always do it with farmers. Like, they fuck shit over for farmers, and they're and you're just like, oh, well, because it had to do this over here in the city. And you're like, yeah, but the farmers needed the water. They're a different fucking, like, you guys are sitting in this thing making $200,000 a year making these votes. You can't make sure that they get the water.
Yeah,
and
it's really rough.
And Beverly Hills doesn't have a fucking fountain doing 200 gallons of the fucking second in front of me.
So
you can't do both of those.
So in closing, I applaud you, Bill Maher. You made a good point. You still shit on states' rights, but you made a good point telling stoners back the fuck off. We're not getting we have more pressing issues than the legalization of marijuana in the United States of America. Let's concentrate on those and let's let weed fall where it does. It's progressing. Let it stay on the course it's on. It's
picking
a good
up steam.
Course. It's picking up steam, but pushing it too fast will only cause problems.
The only people that I do support
only put in it into the wrong hands, I think.
The only people that I do support in that argument with the weed are the people that are just going with the philosophy of like, fuck you, you can't tell me what I'm going to do. So I'm like, I understand that they're like, to them it symbolizes like why the government should choose or anybody should choose what the guy next to them can be doing with his brain, right?
Yeah.
So I support that. But then at the same time, that same person, I want to shake them by the arms and be like, we got to keep these abortion clinics open. There's already no parking. You know what I mean? Like, let people get abortions.
Let people get abortions.
Come on.
So Denver. So this story is apparently very near and dear to April. So the Denver 420 will be moving to Pueblo. It will not. Adams County did not grant the permit. And why don't you take this story away, April? Let us know what's going on.
I think it just had more to do with the venue and that the venue's.
This is the High Times Cannabis Cup,
the
right?
The venue's capacity and that it was just kind of. Really only wanting a cap of 15,000 and it's drawing about 35,000 a day. So we're trying to move it somewhere that is more hospitable. And
I feel like you should never need 35,000 people at a can. That's too
– what is this at?
It's the 420 Cannabis Cup in Denver.
35,000 people. What's
wrong
with that?
That's a lot of fucking people. That many people.
If you're choosing to be a vendor at an event like that, that's ideal.
I feel like by nature stoners should be too paranoid to be around 35,000 other stoners at the same time. I feel like all of them would be like, this is how they take us out, man. Like, I feel how
can
has no one had that
thought?
Can
you imagine how long the food truck lines are?
Or just as far as comfort goes, like, aren't we all introverts? They're like, I'll just hang out with myself or like me and my cat, you know? Like, it's weird that they all want to be in such a public extrovert place.
Yeah, really? 35,000. Now, like, here's the thing.
How big is a football stadium? 20,000?
No, God, no. A football stadium would be anywhere from 75 to 100,000.
Okay. Let's give us some perspective.
This is about half of a – to put it in perspective, actually, it would be exactly a third of the Dallas Cowboys stadium.
Okay. All right. Right on.
Because that's 100,000 seats.
But it's still a big group to go
that's
to
a big group.
Or whatnot.
That's a very big – now, here's the thing. How many of these people are stoners and like, oh, I got my tickets for like 2 months from now and then like on April 21st, so like, oh, dude, I had tickets for yesterday, man. Like, are 35,000 people really showing up?
I bet there's a bunch of people trying to network, too, because nowadays everybody wants to be the star in whatever niche they are, too. So you got a bunch of people with their podcasts, with their Instagrams, like, I'm Cannabis Frank, you know, and I'm fucking Stoner Steve, and like, get your picture with me. So I bet there's a ton of networking, too, going on. So that's
totally.
Absolutely.
So what they are saying that last year, a military veteran experienced breathing problems after sampling pot, and a female jumped out of a moving vehicle. So,
two people?
These are separate stories, but these are just issues that happened last year. And there's also the topic that on-site public consumption of pot is not legal in Colorado. So they're having these events where it's like basically everybody's just getting high as fuck and people are sampling out shit.
Well, here's the thing, though. Two people at a weed convention freaking out on. Now, here's the thing. Let this be a beer garden.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to have more than two incidents.
So you're saying this is two incidents? Dude, anytime that there's something
they
bring that up in anything in public when they're like, two people get fucked up, whether it's a number like that, I'm like, and?
I haven't
like, what else? You want me to stop doing it? People are going to die without this convention.
I haven't been to a bar in L.A. that someone hasn't been thrown out of like 2 years.
There's always somebody bleeding or crying.
Well, it's the same thing that happens.
Sometimes both. Sometimes both.
It's the same thing happens where people are like, now we need to make a law. And you're like, but like, there's like 100 people and there's fucking billions of people on the planet. So like, I don't know if we need to make a law for that. We just need to like keep our eyes out and try not to let that happen again.
Maybe we can just don't, you know, like maybe
or just accept the law of averages that nothing is perfect.
Maybe tell Bill and Sally over here to stop being bitches. I think maybe that would be a bit like, I'm guessing these guys, Bill and Sally, because those sound like little, like fucking, these sound like people who would fucking freak out from a little bit of weed.
Hey, how much longer are we allowed to say bitch for before that becomes illegal? By the way, I think about that every day. I'm like, how many words are they going to take before like people are just like, you can't say that anymore. It's offensive. Like, you can't. You can barely say bitch, I think, right now.
I feel like bitch is one of those ones that I'm like, because I'll say bitch about a dude.
No.
Huh? I call dudes bitches more often than I've ever. Sure. I've almost never called a woman a bitch.
But bitches.
Nah, like that's one of those things. Like my girlfriend has been affectionately called my bitch many a time. I mean, I love calling her my bitch.
Oh yeah.
She's my bottom bitch. Like, she's my down ass bitch.
I've ever had last more than a month. You have to be able to be called bitch in a joking way for me.
Yeah, no, that's an important thing.
You call me bitch too. I mean, I'm a bitch too. But
she calls me way worse things than bitch. Oh,
yeah. Quit acting like a little bitch. I actually call her in sometimes just to tell Alex to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, when I need to shut the fuck up, she gets called in.
That's the old I'll call your dad, but I'll call your chick.
I'll
call your chick, dude.
It's awesome.
Fuck you both. I don't need this shit.
And I use the term bitch loosely. I'm like, I'm gonna be at a bachelor party with 12 bitches. I mean, are they bitches?
There you go. Yeah,
maybe.
Possibly. You don't know.
We are all bitches at one.
I think the better mood I'm in, the more bitch flies out of my mouth. That character's what embodies me.
I said bitch.
Yeah.
So this next segment that we got coming up, apparently a news reporter wanted to find out how easy it was for him as a reporter to get a weed card. This is going to be
the first time someone's doing
this. This is
going to
be the shortest segment in the world because the answer is it's
easy,
not that hard. It's really easy. Like, what? Like, I don't. But I want like. I feel like people forget that the 80s happened and the Quaalude doctors. Mm-hmm. Do you guys both know the stories?
I know of it. I wasn't really like at the doctors at that age, but
it was the same thing as marijuana. I didn't either. I mean, I was born in 86, but my dad told me the stories. He was like, oh, yeah, you'd go stand. When I told him about getting my weed card, he's like, oh, so like Quaaludes. Like, what? He's like, yeah, we did the same shit for you. Go in, you'd pay a doctor $40, he'd write you a script for Quaaludes and give
you your
Quaaludes, baby.
Yeah. Doctor's got lunch money now and you got your ludes. Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Perfect economy.
Well, yeah, not, right? there was an def like years ago, like probably almost 10 years ago, there was someone like a news reporter that actually did on air. You could look it up. They did a little expose on these weed doctors. But this one is a guy just going to a cannabis cup, the one in San Bernardino, it looks like. So,
yeah, and they have doctors
set up there so
you can get your card right there.
Yeah, but because you are a consumer.
I feel like every time these articles come out, it's the old, you know, the old question of, you know, would you burn the village down if, you know, you thought one man in there was a criminal, or would you let it stand if there are 9,999 criminals but you think one of them might be innocent?
Totally, yeah.
Which, you know, and that's where I feel like this argument goes to is that people worry about how easy it is to get these cards. But I go, you know what? If there's a cancer patient, if there's the patients who really need this, I want it to be that easy for them.
Even if
now, does that make it that easy for me?
Sure.
Absolutely does.
Yeah.
But this is one of those, I mean, yeah, I had to say greater good, but this is a greater good thing.
Even if there's 1,000 recreational smokers to one cancer patient, I don't give a fuck. Let the cancer patient get whatever they fucking need to, or any kind of patient that's having pain.
And let the hood rats get their weed too.
Taking a step back, an abstract step back from anything that's going on in politics or society or whatever else, and just be like, there's a human being that needs this. We have the technology. Help them out. It's the same with healthcare. Like,
we have the technology. We can build
it. We can build
it.
We can build them. But why? That's just insanity to me. Just take a step back from all of your little rules and identities and just be like, there's a guy with cancer. Get him the best surgery you can. Mm-hmm. Give him the best chance he can. I don't care what the fucking money is. And then get him whatever
And
medicine.
Then if he wants to treat himself with cannabis, let him be able to treat
whatever
himself
it
with
is.
Cannabis.
Whatever it is. But, and now coming back to reality, I can understand that there's fucking parameters here and that people don't have the fucking – we can't afford to get this doctor to this guy and we got to police the – But again, fucking, is this a priority? It's like the abortion thing. Leave people the fuck alone and fix the fucking water in fucking Michigan and figure out how the economy can get better so that the fucking regular people can get healthy, clean food and shelter.
And
then fucking go deal with this.
It also almost goes back to the Bill Maher thing of like, look how far we've come with weed, first of all. Like,
sure.
For my dad, who used to have to go down to Coney Island.
Yeah.
And buy a bag of sticks and stems and seeds that he could maybe pick a little bit of bud off of.
Yeah.
To last week, I was really, really, really angry because I got to the weed dispensary at 8:03 and they closed at 8. And I had to drive all the way home and then just have it delivered to me at home. Like, but I was still angry because I had to drive home without it.
Grumpy modern asshole. Ungrateful prick.
Like, how far have we? And then, like, my dad's father survived the Holocaust. Okay. Like, I need to stop my bitching.
Can I just say a mazel tov for that one, guys? Can we stop the show? High five, Darth Vader. Fuck yeah. I had no idea there was a survivor relative in here.
For how far everything's – like, I will take the – I will take where weed
have
is.
Have we come far or is it the same – The same people that would have been cool 100 years, like the same people that wouldn't have been racist in the fucking 20s are still the same people now that are just born nowadays. Or have we come farther?
I do believe we've come farther.
We were just talking about Trump. Talking about people like Trump being the fucking leader, dude. So I'm like, is it the same guy who that didn't care about weed in the old days that's just alive now?
Well, that goes back to kind of like that old argument where they say, listen, 30% on either side, Democrat and Republican, are crazy and can't be reasoned with.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've also heard the 5%. It just takes 5% to swing anything, any kind of fucking balance.
Yeah. That really is all it is. It's 5% because everybody else has already made up their minds before the election happened.
Yeah.
They have that set way of thinking. But that's the whole thing is that you go, no, we do change because there are 5%. Otherwise, we would vote the same way every year.
Yeah.
But there is that 5% that sways. There are those communities in the Midwest that swing between Democrats. I mean, I forget there's a county in, I want to say like Idaho or something like that, that this county has picked every president for like the last 20 elections, something like that. They've gotten every president right. Whichever one they swing to is
– Well, it smokes more, so I'll have a paranoid standpoint
on that. So that lets you know that there is change that happens in people. But no, a lot of people do stay the same. I get what you're saying. But like, listen, my grandmother was not smart enough to know that she couldn't call black people schwatzes.
Yeah. Oh, the same with my
– I know that that is a hateful, terrible word to say.
Yeah. Is it hateful, terrible? I mean, I thought it was cute, my grandparents. I remember bringing my friend Jamar over to my grandparents. Like, they call black people schmaltzes. They won't call you that, but they say it like when you guys aren't here. I spilled the beans. I remember as a teenager being like, but it was cute. But it was like endearing the way my 4 foot tall little buddy would say, like, and then the schmaltze says, and I was just like, oh my God, this is so cute, dude.
I never even knew that.
Oh, yeah. No, but that's the thing.
Schmaltze.
Yeah, it's a Yiddish term
for black.
Yeah.
It's literally the Yiddish term for the color black.
I know I'm a Shiksa.
Yeah, and that's kind of – but you have to – Shiksa also. You have
yes,
to
you are Shiksa.
Yiddish is a fucking – Jewish humor is a condescending but in a funny, friendly way. Yiddish is that kind of like schwatze, schmuck, putz. I mean, they're not all racial, but like Shiksa is like kind of – or dude, what
– It's one of the only languages to have more – insults than verbs.
Goyim is so condescending.
Yeah,
dude.
Goyim's very condescending.
Then the goy, my buddy would just be describing that, and then the goy tells me that I'm just like, holy fuck,
what
like
is that?
Goyim
means non-Jew.
Non-Jew, like you're lesser than, but not in a mean way, like in a friendly fucking, hey, you know, like, guy doesn't get it yet. I'll figure it out one day.
Goyim is the Yiddish translation for Gentile.
It's still hopeful. You'll come around, eh? There's no, Jesus was just a guy. You'll figure it out.
I'm a shiksa.
You're a goy shiksa. You're a goy shiksa.
But we don't need to be redundant. You're just a shiksa.
But yeah, but once again, getting back to the article though, we were talking about
how easy it is for people to get weed cards. Yes, it's fucking easy.
It's easy as shit, yes, and it should
no,
be.
There are hundreds of reasons that cannabis could provide relief for those reasons, those ailments. There aren't any full-on medical testing because it's a scheduled drug. That's the problem. Now, can a doctor – that's why anybody can go in and say, I'm tired, I have cramps, I have this, you know, I can't pay attention, and they can get weed.
Good.
Let them get the weed.
Yeah, dude. You don't have to fucking. I don't feel like anybody has to explain to anybody. Like, I just want to.
Anybody
smoke
who
a plant.
Smokes weed,
okay,
is self medicating.
Yeah.
So think about it. What does it help? You know, like anytime somebody would say to me because of my experience in the dispensary world, I never really wanted to just be like, well, you just go in and you say this, and then they'll give you the card. I'm like, hey, what's wrong with you? Why do you smoke weed? And they go, oh, well, you know, it calms. And I'm like, that's your reason there. Like, it calms you down. Okay.
I'm dead inside when I don't, doctor. Oh, well, right away.
It gives me a hard on. Okay, great.
Oh, yeah.
Just tell them
that. Yeah, that alone, they should prescribe weed. It should be forced on us. Brave new world, dog. Brave new world. I can smoke this weed, go home, fuck, and then everything will be fine.
Everything's going to be good.
Oh, yeah. If only. If only.
Dude, that's
it. Yeah. But it's like that. I mean, in one way or another, everyone is self-medicating, and whatever it helps you for is what it is medicinal. Yeah. You know what makes it medicinal? It's a fucking.
As long as
you're such a fucking hippie,
I know.
You really are such a fucking hippie.
Fuck off! But
I mean, you are. It's okay. Yeah. I don't mind. I'm just pointing it out.
Why? What about her standpoint gets you going? Gets your goat?
It doesn't get my goat. I just know that she's a hippie. That whole free love. I'll let people have what they want, man. I'm like, yeah, that's that whole Bernie Sanders love thing. And I love Bernie too, but like, you know, still.
No. I mean, I don't necessarily think let people have what they want, but I think there's higher priorities if you're trying to help civilization stay afloat and progress. There's just higher priorities. So if you're like, I don't like gay people getting married, they shouldn't be able to get married. You're just like, okay, I respect that you don't like that or you don't understand gay people, or you have your weird theory on gay people.
Oh, no,
just take some time to figure some other shit out. That, like, somebody's bleeding right now. We need to get a tourniquet.
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah. I just was saying, like, the reason I say that is, like, that's where that whole, that's where that whole free love, you know, free everything Bernie Sanders gets really close to that deregulate everything, make everything legal
anarchy
of Ron Paul. Like, that's where the far left and the far right almost touch. Like, that.
What do you think would happen, though? Like, I mean, I don't know much about politicians, but I have seen Ron Paul, like, his quotes and memes that people put up. I'm like, oh, this guy seems pretty cool. Like,
A lot of Americans would die. Of Americans would die. Because here's the thing. Same with Bernie Sanders, but I like his approach at it a little bit more. With Ron Paul, the biggest problem with the way he wants to do things with the deregulation of everything, it's like that the free market would absolutely decide, and this would absolutely work, were people all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if everyone was like – had like a conscience and like thought about
critical
things
and
like
care
cared
and
about
empathy,
their brother, like then yeah, a company wouldn't put out – a product that could fucking kill people because it was more cost effective.
Wait,
but in
people do that though.
But that's the whole thing. In Ron Paul's world, it's like there would be no regulation over that. That we would have the only recourse would be that the market would look and be like, well, a lot of people are dying on this. We should stop buying it.
Yeah.
Eventually the company would die, but like so did all those people.
I just think it's so fucked up that things that we need, like that our basic needs have become an industry for profit. Medicine, food,
but that's exactly
shelter.
Why they become an industry for profit.
But,
because if you're trying to figure out how am I going to scrape a bunch of little tokens together till I have a fucking huge sum of it? What do people need? Like, I mean, not even being sinister, just being like,
there should be integrity in that. Like,
there should be, but there isn't.
But
what you're talking about, though, that's also where socialism and communism butt up against each other a little bit. That whole, like, why should people have to pay for food? Well, then you don't have to. Come to communist Russia. You're like, oh, sweet. You know, so.
Everyone
like,
that's, seems happy over there.
You know, like, that's, there are, like, I get what you're saying.
And go feed the cabbage.
But also, you know, all right, so we got to move on.
We make good borscht.
I like
we got borscht. Our last story coming borscht. Up. So April got these nuns that she's just been loved. But here's the thing. I got a problem with this story because these nuns in Merced that want to grow weed. But here's the thing. They're not fucking nuns. Dude, they're not Catholic, but they're dressed like nuns.
Dude, you start your own thing.
When I saw this news story on these ladies, all I thought about was the Dave Chappelle bit where he's talking about, he's hitting on the girl and the girl's like, hey, just because I'm dressed like this does not make me a hooker. And he's like, if I went into a neighborhood dressed like a police officer and someone would rock up to me and be like, oh, my God, thank God, a police officer. Oh, my God, there's a crime going on. And I'm like, oh, I see. Just because I'm dressed like
that's
this,
a great point.
You think I'm a police officer.
But did anyone ever go to a nun for an emergency police officer kind of thing?
No,
it's
but
not
like
– hurt anyone.
But like I could come across these nuns and be like, you know what, maybe I do want Jesus in my life. And these ladies would not be able to help me.
Listen,
like,
if Jesus is real and he's going to come into your life, you don't have to go through anybody else.
Here's the thing.
I'm not spiritual. I'm just
imagine the world, though, where like, imagine the world where a 29-year-old Alex Mandelberg walking down the street decides to get Jesus in his life, comes across these ladies, and they're like, I can't offer you Jesus, but I can offer you some weed. I feel like, would that be like the greatest sign in the world? Like, you'd be like, thank you, Lord.
Yeah,
thank you for pointing me to
I would pop around the corner.
I would walk around forever in the name of marijuana. And Jesus, if that happened,
I'd pop around the corner and be like, dude, the weed is Jesus. You get what I'm saying, man? And then I'd fucking back away slowly. You'd never see me again. But I hope to blow that kid's mind, dude.
Oh, Jesus.
I think that they just
literally.
They just threw on the fucking habit because they're banning it. They're banning medical marijuana cultivation in Merced. It says that they're technically not Catholic, but their mind shouldn't matter.
All right. Listen.
We live together. We work together, but we're a bit socialistic. So basically, they wear nuns' clothes and make salves. And
how can you guys not think they're badass?
I think they're awesome.
Yeah, but I just think that they're bullshit because they're not nuns.
Alex, it's all made up, dude. Someone else invented the term nun, the theme nun, the whole dress code. What group and organization instituted that?
Nun,
whole thing?
Yeah.
Like, yes, anyone. And those people were Catholics. And why? Like, here's the thing. I mean, next to Disney, you want to talk about trademarks you don't want to step on the feet of. Disney and the Catholic fucking church, right?
It is the same company, I think, now.
I feel like this is...
they merged.
You could get in some deep shit. I feel like the Catholic church is going to lose their shit over this eventually.
I think... Well, there's two choices.
They'll be like,
though.
These bitches are calling themselves nuns and they're not... They better not be fucking. They better not fuck anybody.
That's the line that's drawn.
That I'm drawing that line because
the Catholics are like not even kids.
Like if you're
no.
Like
these people are not nuts.
I'm drawing the fucking line because you can't just dress like a nun, grow weed, not be Catholic, and call yourself a fucking nun.
I almost want to change my life just to prove this motherfucker wrong right now. Alex, you can do it. We can all do it.
I don't believe it.
Dude, these identities
we're going to find Chefsky wearing a little habit. Tilling the soil.
Oh yeah, dude. I totally
saying.
No.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if I'd go through the energy of actually changing my life just despite one or as a joke. Not that
April bringing
dedicated.
In guests with the same hippie
I'm
point
not,
of
I'm
view as her. I can't.
No, we have similar standpoints where we meet in the Venn diagram. But
you
I'm on
fucking
my own.
Hippies.
No, dude. I'm floating out like in gravity without the fucking lifeline, and I'm just like, guys, anyone agree? Like 99% of the time, I'm by myself.
He's talking about floating in gravity and forces and.
Dude, I gave an example. I gave a fucking. Dude, you brought me to this fascist. Is this a dungeon? Are the doors locked or what?
There is a dungeon.
He's
here,
no,
actually.
No, first rule: no abstract examples.
Yep. Then the whip comes out.
Yeah, then the whips come out, then the chains and the flogger.
I'm willing to try something new. Right. Go for it. That's not my thing, but I'll try it.
Oh, Jesus.
As long as I don't bleed, I'll dig it.
Oh, God. I don't know what. I
That's extra.
Getting back to the story, though. So these. I'm going to pull an April O'Connor move and do something none of you can see. And air quote nuns, as I say, these nuns.
Like I'm going to attack them. No, keep going.
Well, as I always say, April throws out air quotes a lot for us being a purely auditory fucking medium. Like, no one could ever
but
see
I
her.
Announce
she
them.
Throws air quotes
I announce
like.
Them.
Yeah,
I,
after
I
say no one can see your air quotes, April.
I announce them as well. You gotta let the listeners know what you can see.
So, anyways, yeah, I'm going to air quote these. So, these nuns in Merced are making these salves and they're selling it on Etsy. And here's the weirdest thing. Like, I do appreciate their balls because this lady is on the news like, oh, yeah, all this shit's illegal. Like, on the fucking news.
Yeah.
I love the balls.
$400,000 a year on Etsy.
That's why it might be. It's got to be like a publicity thing that's going to get them. Like,
I'm with you. I think that this is a – I think the nun thing and all of this is a publicity thing.
Oh, yeah, dude. They're just trippy.
Like, that's why they're not really nuns. They're like, hey, I bet if we said we were nuns, we'd get on the news. Like, that makes more sense to me.
But would you rather punish this one group of fake nuns or 9,000 other fake nuns out there that are doing good?
I'm gonna burn the forest of fake nuns down, just even if there's one real nun in there.
Was it worth it?
And I'll say it was worth every fucking lit match.
Yes, it was.
All they're doing is making salves and tinctures. They're helping people.
I will say this much. They do not make a single psychoactive product. Everything they produce is purely medical.
It's CBD, which is legal. Well, no,
it's also THC, but it's that THCA. It's unactivated.
Does that
it says just CBD.
I could have. They were saying in the news interview that, you know, they were putting raw. I was seeing them use raw plant material.
Yeah, CBD heavy plant material. It says the sister's business involves turning CBD into salves and oils.
Now, fine.
CBD. Well,
they can keep on doing what they want to do. I just want them to stop calling themselves nuns. That's all I want.
Oh, shut up.
I'm willing to sign the petition because he's very open-minded. Let's do this. Let's do this. I'll support you on this one, Alex.
As we reach the end of our show, so tell me, John, you got to – we do have your Twitter at – which I can't.
I think
even,
it's at Shefsky.
At Shefsky.
S-H-E-F-S-K-Y. Yep.
And the Instagram is the name JONSHEFSKY.
Yep.
You got any shows coming up that you're doing around town?
I do Magnificent Beast podcast, and that one's I'm really enjoying that one. I think.
What do you do on there? Is there you got any theme or
The theme is okay. I let my guests pick three topics.
Okay,
and then my favorite kind of podcasts are generally like fly on the wall, like listening to just people have interesting conversation when I'm sitting in traffic. So that's what I like to do. So we chat for about an hour and a half about just anything from like balls and farts to like the nature of existence. So
it's
pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's
very fun. So, and you let the guests pick three.
As long as they are okay with anyone calling themselves nuns. That's my only fucking rule.
I guess I will not be like a guest on your fucking podcast.
I'm like a really
ever.
Cool Montessori school podcast. I want everyone to just experiment and just grow naturally. Yeah. No, you have to come on my podcast.
I would love to. That'd be a fun time. I have a feeling.
I already have my topics in mind.
Yeah.
Oh, you got your three topics in mind?
I'm just kidding. It would be like snuff and. I'm just kidding.
The kind of movies or the stuff you put under your gums or whatever?
Which snuff
movies.
Are we
doing?
Yeah. The movies. I only have seen one snuff movie.
I'm just
kidding.
It was
8mm, and it was about snuff movies. So.
Yeah, no, I've seen.
No, I was just being silly.
You so silly.
Well, that's also so another silly. Rule for Magnificent Beasts. You got to be silly. But yeah, check me out on that. And then for shows, I mean, I'm doing whatever.
Where do you get up usually?
The Comedy Store, any kind of random road gigs.
Comedy Store, man.
Here or there, yeah.
So then you probably know a good buddy of mine, Joe Dosh.
Oh, yeah. I fucking love Joe.
Yeah.
Joey D.
We love Joe.
Joseph Mengele Dosh, I call him. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, good dude. Yeah. Very, very funny comedian.
Awesome dude and hilarious, which is such an awesome combo.
It's, you know, it almost makes me hate him.
When you love your friend
he's
and you
so
don't have to
funny.
Lie to them about being funny, you're like, I love this guy and I'm not lying when I'm like, you're fucking hilarious. Not that I lie to anyone.
No, we have.
Good set.
No, I don't. I just do the fist bump, but I don't say anything. Just that's my code.
There's a comedian
that means
just joking.
That means you bombed.
Unless we're busy. No, this is gonna get fucked up now. People are gonna think I'm always fucking lying. No.
Me and him go out with Justin Ruppel a lot, and me and Justin laugh every single time about because Justin's Armenian about his Armenian line that he does, where he says. I told my mom I met an Armenian. She's like, what's an Armenian? I was like, imagine if Russia had Mexicans.
Oh, so
it's
good.
Such a good. I mean,
it's not. It's his timing too. And like, as soon as he moved out here, like the first time I saw him at an open mic, I was like, fuck, like he's just got great pentameter.
Yeah, very fast. Oh. Works very hard. And, he's a funny dude.
Yeah, he's awesome. There's a lot of. Let's just give shout outs. We've got five minutes.
He's an insufferable. He's an insufferable prick, you know. But and fuck him to death.
You gotta be a grumpy guy at your typewriter sometimes. No, Joe's fucking awesome.
He calls me Grumpy Cat a lot, which I'm like, every single time I want to be like, really? if you're calling me grumpy, I need to get my shit together.
I embrace my grumpiness. I feel like
I know. I love my grumpiness.
All of my favorite writers were always just grumpy pieces of shit.
That's true.
But cool people.
Yeah.
But they have their grumpy times. I try to minimalize it to like the rind of the cheese instead of the whole thing. But
real quick before we end, then who are your top three comics?
My friend Sandro Yocolano is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Jamar Neighbors just fucking like he on stage and all, I mean he's been one of my best friends for like 9 years, dude. Like he makes me we've had mutual friends die. We've joked about some dark shit. That guy makes me like piss my pants.
Yeah,
he's the most talented motherfucker in the world. You could just go on the list: Johnny Scortez, fucking Baldinger,
Johnny,
everybody, dude. There's a lot of amazing. But if you're gonna check out a few people, check out Sandro. Check out
We're gonna
Scortez,
get Sandro in here too.
John Schaubel, fucking Rail Battle. Dude. Oh, I love my comedy.
You got anything to promote in the next few weeks, April?
God damn it.
Kisses. I think I'm doing Talmo's show this next week.
Oh, very fun. I'm doing the Headroom Gallery March 1st, and then I'm off to Redding, California. I'm doing a casino up there.
Oh, yeah.
Which will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm doing that later on. And then off to I finally got the dates. I think it's May 16th going up to Joker's in Richland, Washington, which will be a fun time. I like it up there. And I know in August Dismantled is going to be back in Reno because we had our 6 shows over Valentine's Day weekend. They went really, really very well. So that was nice. I was with Joe there.
Oh yeah,
it was a good time.
How'd Joe do out there?
Joe did very well.
Fuck yeah,
Joe did very well. He does very well wherever
he goes.
He's not many people could do well anywhere, and he really can do well almost anywhere.
Fuck yeah.
But and that's the stuff for me. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks, the Crab Diving Network. Thank you to our guest, John Shesky.
Yeah, go to my Instagram, guys.
Go to his Instagram. And thank you very much to the Rafopoulos Network for having us record here. We will see you guys next week.